The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a show that I like these types of shows because there is a lot that is going on where I can just sink my teeth. Eric and I can play some ping pong. Eric has a 2020 vision guest. But there's a lot to talk about today. I think yesterday was a big day, today even bigger for sports returning. We will get into that here momentarily. I'm getting a lot of people asking about Dan Marley and Grand Canyon University. So I've got some thoughts on that, obviously. The NFL is having their meetings today and talking about making new face masks and stuff that will soften the blow for when they talk about giving up draft picks for minority hiring. I mean, I know how it works, guys. You're going to find something to put out there that will soften the blow from, well, the only thing to talk about is whether we should give draft picks to minority hiring. Peter King wrote this past week that there shouldn't be criticism on this, that the NFL should be commended for trying to come up with a solution. And I understand what Peter's saying. We have Peter on the show a lot, but to think that we're sitting here in 2020 and that we have to come up with a gadget in order to have minority coaches be considered to be head coaches, when I first heard the story on Friday, like, well, we're going to give you a fourth round pick because you hired somebody that doesn't look like you if you're an NFL owner. Does that make any sense in this world? And there's people that think it totally does. To incentivize off of race, I don't know. So that's going on at the NFL owners' meetings today. And they're talking about partnering with Oakley, the sunglass company, to make these masks. So I'm getting to that today, too. And the wait is over. Or the wait is over, depending on how you look at it. Eric is a gym guy. Eric joins us now. Did you go to the gym last night? Because gyms opened here in our state, right?
I did. I went to the gym yesterday afternoon, and it was probably 35% full. But man, Brad, I've never seen that gym so clean. It was immaculate. It smelled new. The equipment looked new. All the equipment was working. It was amazing. Gosh.
I can't do it. I'm canceling mine today. I'm canceling. So you felt good about going in? Were there like protectors there when you work out and all that, or?
No.
Nothing?
No, they put in probably three or four more hand sanitizing stations. But, you know, I've been out and about probably more than most during this pandemic. Smartly being out and about, not like going to places where there's 900,000 people or anything, but sure, I felt okay. I mean, I'm pretty self-aware when it comes to being out in public these days.
But did you bench? So did you follow somebody and did you see if they sanitized?
When I go to gyms, I
don't know.
It's tough because there are germs everywhere. So, you know, you could get the virus walking down the street and passing someone. You could get the virus by going and getting your mail, and it's on the mail. If the mail carrier has it and puts the mail in your mailbox and you touch it, you can get it. I mean, there's just so many different ways that you can acquire this virus. I'm just trying not to overthink the situation, I guess.
Do you look at anybody funny who wears a mask?
No.
Me either. I still wear masks. We went to Costco with masks on, and Costco was packed.
You have to at Costco.
No, I understand that, but it was packed. And for those that say, we're going to boycott Costco, knock yourself out. Really, that's what you're going to do to pass your time of day while you're given this opportunity to live on this planet? You're going to go boycott Costco because people have masks on.
I don't care, Brad, like if you only want to wear the mask when you're in Costco and that's it. But if that's the rules, then just follow the rules. And I don't look at people any differently that have a mask on from people that don't have a mask on. But yeah, if you're in a big public place and there's hundreds of people like Costco and grocery stores, it'd probably be wise to wear a mask for a half hour or however long you're in there. It's not going to kill you.
My buddy John Cantera, you know John by name, I was on his radio show last Friday, and he's still at home in Solana Beach. Tough place to be quarantined. Bill Frieder called me yesterday, by the way, and his opening line is, It's a tough place to be quarantined when you're in Del Mar. You know,
I love Solana Beach. It's my favorite beach, but continue.
So John's quarantined there, and he calls me Thursday and said, hey, can you come on the show tomorrow to talk about what your governor's doing? Like, fine. And so I just went into full rant mode about, you know, I'm out of golf courses, and people that are out there are actually driving over from California and spending their money here in our state because our governor was smart enough to say, you can social distance and you can play golf. And we were talking about this morning, my daughter and I, about people in California are still completely locked down. And she's out here from Chicago right now, locked down. And she can't believe how open it is out here in Arizona versus how it is in California and how it is in Chicago. It's like two different planets in talking to her friends how locked down it is in California still. And I'm not out there with any concerns or worries, but other parts of the country, it's completely different than what you and I are seeing here in Arizona. I'm so glad I'm here. I mean, being in California when it's 80 degrees and you can't go to the beach because you're afraid of a virus, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I just hope that Governor Ducey's decision doesn't come back to bite us in the next 2 or 3 months. But I mean, he did aggressively open some things and he did it smartly. But if we see the curve ramp back up,
yeah,
then we will be the butt of every joke around the country, because Arizona is usually the butt of every joke around the country. So,
which is what I said.
You know, in the summer, we'll just have to see what happens.
And I told John that when John Quintero was, you know, our state, he said, what is it about your state? I said, John, this is the best state in the country when it comes to sports. We're the busiest sports market in America that nobody knows about. All they show are barrel cactus, right? And they just think that we're in the middle of freaking nowhere. And we have every pro sports franchise league going here except the MLS. And maybe eventually we'll get the MLS. Our high schools come in here and get raided by out of state. Jonah Miller yesterday, bye, gone. Another big time lineman that says, oh, they want to be here in Arizona. Our colleges, we're at the highest level in the Pac-12. Although if we play teams in the SEC, we get our tails kicked. But my point is we've got it really good here in our state. I agree with you. What will this look like in 2 months or 3 months if we did open back up too soon? And I still am one of those that I'm going to self-quarantine still, because I have aging parents that if they got something, they're done on both sides. My wife and I are both in this space. My family, we're still locked down. Doesn't mean we don't like it. I'm going to see Jordan later today for the first time in 3 months. I haven't seen you in person since March 8th. And I'm going to keep it that way, because it's not like I want to rush back into this, but I'm going to be smart when I take my shots.
Yeah, and I think the one thing you mentioned, Brad, yeah, yes, we have all of the sports teams, but I think the most important thing people forget about the Valley is we're an event city. Like, big events come to Arizona.
Yeah.
Final Fours, Super Bowls, National Championship games. So on top of having all the major sports, we get the luxury, because of our climate and because people like to come to Phoenix, we get the luxury of being in the rotation for these big-time events, which really hopefully will help kickstart the economy whenever we get this thing going. And I know we don't have a big event coming up for a little bit, but that's always a revenue generator for us.
No, right. I mean, Dana White over the weekend said that Phoenix is the option to bring UFC. There won't be anybody in the stands.
So?
But the fact that Dana White said, yes, we will go to Phoenix at the end of May if Vegas doesn't get their act together. So is he using Phoenix as a negotiating tool against Vegas? Maybe, but Vegas has yet to really give an indication of a date. And on the other side, I want to get into that with California and Texas. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor. Now protect what matters most. Guys, if you do not have your life insurance, what are you waiting for? If you didn't come home tonight, if something tragic were to happen, would everything be handled? Would everything be covered? Or would everybody be saying, how do we pay for this funeral? How do we go to college? How do we do life insurance? Log on to Sagicor now. Sagicor now, protect what matters most. That's it, Sagicor now. Up next, yesterday was a very good day in getting back to normalcy. in the world of sports. I'll explain that, plus the NFL owners are meeting, and Dan Marley suing GCU, all straight ahead. So last night, the governors of Texas and California said that sports can be played, pro sports can be played. Let's be very clear about that, because we still have levels to get to with college and on the high school end. They say that the sports can be played in empty stadiums. So, Eric, I'm assuming on this one that somebody somewhere said, hey, Governor Newsom here in California, you still have the borders closed, but let me just lean into you a little bit. We're the National Football League. We have a new stadium that's opening in L.A., and it's worth this much. And I don't know. You just don't want to mess with us, and you don't want to mess with our dollars, and you don't want to mess with our product. And we've already unveiled jerseys that look really cool if you're a Charger fan, all 10 of you, and look really cruddy if you're a Rams fan, which is the majority. So get out of the way and please reopen. I thought yesterday was a good day for sports. Finally, we have not had many good days in the last 90.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's these. Yeah, we're moving along, but we're still not to where we need to be. And yeah, as for the NFL said, oh, by the way, that new stadium doesn't just house one team; it houses two teams. Right. So let's keep things, you know, moving in the right direction here.
Yeah, we have the varsity, we have the JV there.
Right.
No, but I think for. If you're a high school parent today or you're a college player today, you have to feel better about having some movement yesterday. Like yesterday was the most significant, because if California doesn't open up, then you don't have the 49ers and you don't have the Rams and you don't have the Chargers and you don't have Cal and you don't have Stanford and you don't have USC, you don't have UCLA, you don't have San Diego State. You don't have a lot. And so if you're the Pac-12, how do you get your conference off and running if the governor still has the borders closed? I have to believe that it wasn't the governor that just got up in the middle of the night and said, you know, I think I should probably open this up. I have to believe that there was some pressure being applied from a lot of people to him. And in Ducey's case, I keep comparing what's going on here to California. I think Ducey sees the tourism side. It doesn't mean he's being irresponsible by opening up the borders. If you don't like it, it's real simple. You stay home. This is not that hard. If you don't agree with Governor Ducey, you don't go anywhere. But if you're in California and you're Larry Scott and you're Roger Goodell and you don't have those open, then I think we do sit here and say we can't have a season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part. This is like an all for one and one for all. You can't. I don't think you can play the NFL season and exclude the three NFL teams from Southern California, especially now that, you know, the schedules are out and everything's set in place and they've had the draft, yada, yada, yada. As for residents in California, I have some good friends that live in the San Diego area, and they have not been out of the house since the beginning of March, and they are thinking about packing up their car with their kids, driving to Arizona to get haircuts, to go stay at a resort, to swim in a pool, to go out to eat, because, you know, we think every day is mundane for us in Arizona. Imagine those people in California. Nothing is open. They can't, you know, you can go into Target, you can go to the grocery store, you can get gas, but they can't have the same luxuries that we do. And I know people in California are to the point where it's like, we need to start opening some things up or there's going to be some problems.
Well, and here's one I heard about in opening up yesterday by Governor Newsom, but this is before then. There are high school players, high-end high school players in California that are talking to and have reached out to a couple of schools here in Arizona to say, you know, we may want to come over there and play this season because we need to get our college stuff in front. Would you be interested in taking us on? Now, they'd have to sit five games by transferring over here. But their kids, two of them in San Diego County, that have looked at coming here to Arizona to play their high school football season, just kind of drop on in if it stays closed over there all the way down to the high school level. You know, a college game without fans in the stands is, to me, not that big of a deal if we're just talking about aesthetically, all right? Aesthetically, the fans are there. I love the band. That's what I love about colleges. I love all the feeling in the stands. It's not corporate like it is at the NFL. But at college, 99% of the people in the stands have no idea who the kid is down on the field that's playing. Drop down to the next level, high school. It's completely the opposite. Everybody in the stands knows the kids that are playing. Those parents, those teachers, those grandparents, those aunts, those uncles, their friends in math class, their friends in psychology, whatever. They're all there on Friday night to watch their buddies play. And so to play in front of nobody at the high school level, to me would be a shame and be sad. If it were closed stadiums for college and the NFL, no big deal. No big deal at all. In fact, for the Pac-12 network, it may be the best thing that's ever happened, because then people would be forced to try to find the network that nobody ever watches. So I think what happened yesterday was great on that front for California at the pro level. Let's see what happens at the college level. A week ago, we were talking about how USC, Eric, was going to cancel their games against Alabama, and all of a sudden, guess what? Well, no, you know what? Things are open now. And a week ago it was, well, the 49ers could come train or play their games. I'm sorry, could play their regular season games out in Glendale. The Rams could go to, or the Chargers rather, could go to Vegas, because the Spanoses are tight with people in Vegas, and they could play their games at the Raiders stadium.
The Raiders would love that. I'm sure the Raiders would be over the moon about sharing their brand new venue with the Chargers.
Well, you know, the Charger fans have disappeared anyways. But I think there's no certainty on all this. But what we know is it changes every day or every week. Full disclosure, Eric and I talk or text. Is there something to talk about tomorrow on the show or not? We're not just going to sit here and fill time. There's plenty to talk about today. But so for the last 3 months, there's been a lot of dangling the carrot and a lot of maybes. You know, baseball feels like they just can't get out of their own way on this one. Where the other sports, okay, baseball, you now know that California is open. You're going to play in empty stadiums. You've got to figure out the dollars to get the testing in place. The NBA is still in this spot of, we don't want perception that we're taking away tests from others. Get through that. Get through it.
I feel, as we talked about last week when you and I talked on the phone, you know, what have we done through this pandemic? We've adjusted. We've adjusted to life. We've adjusted to the completely flipped schedule. I think when it comes to the sports calendar, at first it will look odd watching games without fans and stands, but after a while we'll get used to it. And I don't necessarily agree 99% of the people that go to ASU games don't know who Jaden Daniels is, but I see your point when it comes to
Don't know him as a person.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified
that.
I definitely think at the high school level it's more family oriented. Yes. And one thing, yes, Brad, that I was thinking about last night is, if they're not going to allow fans into high school games here in Arizona, what schools will be proactive enough to set up a stream so all of their games, home and away, will be streamed, so at least the families will be able to stream it? Because, you know, there are some high schools out there that are already thinking about, okay, you know, we have a really good booster club and we've got some good things going, and the booster club allows us and the parents allow us to go on these camps and play out of state. How can we give back to the parents so they can at least watch their kids play in the fall if they're not allowed in the stadium?
Well, that mechanism's already in place, and they would charge them. And we have a free stream that we do with the Chandler School District. We've had it for the last 9 years since we opened the company. But there's companies out there that would say it's $4.99, you can watch whatever. I think on the college end, that could be the way to go too, is you want to watch your team and you can't find the Pac-12 network, just stream it and check it out. But yeah, I mean, if I gave the impression nobody knows who Jaden Daniels is, that's not what I meant. It's his inner circle.
Sure.
There might be 10 people, 15 people in the stands who know what that kid is all about. They love each other. They care about each other. They're friends, their family. They go to dinner and all that stuff. At the high school level, it's completely different. And the pro level, I think it's more, you go with your buds or you go for corporate, or you just go to, say, you have tickets to a pro sporting event. It's fine. Dan Marley suing Grand Canyon University. Yes, we're going to get into that next. Okay, Dan Marley suing Grand Canyon University. So this story, when I first heard about it yesterday, was one of, wow, okay, if it really is of him not being taken care of the way that he thinks should be taken care of, and then Grand Canyon came out saying we weren't aware of any of this with their response. So somewhere, yeah, we're not aware. And Dan is saying, you guys better pay me what the deal says. And for breach of contract is what Dan is suing for. There's a lot of layers to this story when I think about it. I have not talked to anybody on it today because this just needs to settle. I don't need to have somebody filling my ear with one side or the other. It's just, okay, where are we at here? My first thought is, where's Jerry Colangelo at in all this? There was a text exchange between Jerry and Dan. I'm paraphrasing that Jerry said essentially, yeah, Brian wanted to do this and so apologies and you'll be fine. So Brian Mueller, the president of Grand Canyon University, I've gotten to know a little bit through the years, and I happen to like Brian personally, but I know that Brian has a very short fuse. Brian's expectations go all the way back to, of winning, which I want people that want to win. I don't want people that just want to collect a check like the pro basketball owner in town. When Russ Peddle was the coach at GCU, I felt like even a year in, you could just get a vibe that this is not going to go well. This is not going to end well. And there were just things that were happening, in my view, on the outside looking in, that felt like Russ was going to be gone pretty quick. And so when Russ was let go, I was in Las Vegas. I was on a plane. Jerry called me. He said, we're making this move. Let me tell you why. And it's like, well, it makes perfect sense. Dan had been screwed, in my opinion, by Robert Sarver. May have been the best thing that happened to Dan, I said at the time. Sometimes things happen and you're like, why? Why me? Why now? Why this? What do you mean I have to go over and start over? I'm poised to become the next coach of the Suns. I'm Dan bleeping Marley. And instead, he goes out on the beach and Jerry turns around and hires him through Brian. And I thought it was a good move. I was wondering if Dan would accept going to the college end, small college, private Christian school. How would he handle that? There were some that I talked to through the years that felt Dan was going to be a very good assistant coach, questionable about a head coach. That's not what the view was. Personally, I like Dan a lot. Known Dan a long time. Dan gets over to GCU, and he builds and he builds and he builds. And then it gets to a point where they're in this conference that Brian Mueller's trying to get him out of, and Jerry's trying to get him out of, and trying to get to a bigger conference, and it's not happening. So they're still in this conference. The WAC, one team, just one team every year gets to go to March Madness out of the WAC. And Brian's goal is, we got to be that one team. And if we're not that one team, there's no excuses for not being that one team. And so as time progressed, Dan runs into New Mexico State in the championship game. This was a year and a half ago. Eric and I were up there. We drove back after the game, not even after the game. We didn't even make it to the halftime of that game because we knew it was over. They were getting blown out. And you could see the uncomfortableness in the president at that time. And I ran into Brian a few times over the summer and then in the fall and visit more about basketball. And there was never anything said, but it was just, okay, I've seen how it went with Russ Pennell. This is year 7 for Dan. They have got to get through the WAC and get into March Madness. If they do, it will be huge. And I felt like they were building in the right way. Some were very critical of all the transfers that were coming in. I'm laying this all out because, in my opinion, when they got off to a slow start, for whatever reason, it didn't matter. Dan, in my opinion, was gone by mid-December, in my opinion. I never had anybody over there tell me. It's just, you could see it. Body language, just the vibe, just the feel that unless they were able to go all the way into March Madness this year, which with COVID never happened, they were never given that opportunity. Didn't matter about players being ineligible, didn't matter about transfers, didn't matter about injuries, Doesn't matter. That's how the president over there is wired. So they let Dan go just as COVID breaks. I thought that timing was odd. They had Bryce Drew in place 4 days later. I thought that timing was odd. The fact that Dan is sitting here in May and he hasn't been paid yet and he decides to go public with it, I just think that's odd on Dan's part. Like, do you really have to go public on this? You were fired. That's how Brian is. That's how GCU is. And so for this to now become something that's out there about how he hasn't been paid yet, and GCU to say, well, we haven't been made aware of this at all. So I'm not going to sit here and side with either one of them on this. Dan's not going to be back as head coach. And there's going to be people out there in the coaching profession that are going to say, do I want to get tied up with somebody who's going to go the legal route? That's how it works. I'm not saying Dan can't coach again or shouldn't be allowed to coach. He should. But I'm just looking at this and thinking, you know, did you really have to go public on this unless you went all the way to the mat? You went through every last straw. This happened in early March. And the way things have been in the last 5 or 5, 6 weeks, I don't know. That's probably not something that's on the front of everybody's list in payroll. Maybe it's that simple. Or maybe there are some other things behind the scenes that haven't come out as of yet. I don't know. But my phone's been blowing up. It's blowing up right now while I'm talking about this, because this is what everybody's like, what's going on? My thing with Jerry is, Dan is like Jerry's son. So does this do anything with Jerry and Brian Mueller, with their relationship, the Colangelo School of Business, USA Basketball, everything else that's going on over there? Will there be some trickle down impact avalanche down the road that they'll all deny today? Everybody will say, oh, there's nothing here. I got it. But 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 24 months from now, are there things that are going to shake out over this becoming such a public deal? So, you know, to sit here today and just say, well, Dan's right and they're wrong and they're right and he's wrong, I think on both sides, the way that it went down with Dan, it just, you blow him out and then you turn right around 4 days later. I didn't like that by GCU. And I thought Randy Bennett was going to be the guy. I thought Randy Bennett probably should have been the guy if they could have got him. What do you got on this?
It's pretty telling, Brad. If you take a picture, there's a picture we have on our website of the day Dan Marley was hired. And then you put that picture up next to a picture from this past season of Dan Marley coaching. I think he got worn out. I think he got tired. I think he got sick of losing to New Mexico State every single year. And at times they were closing the gap on New Mexico State. They even beat New Mexico State a couple times during Marley's tenure, which was really good for the most part. They beat San Diego State. They pushed Louisville to the limit. Yeah. But at the end, last year just went so backwards. They got transfers that were ineligible. They had Oscar Freyer, one of their best players, a returning senior, was academically ineligible. That's a huge piece that was missing. Last year went south, and I agree with you. You know, like, President Mueller, he has his own agenda. He's the president. He's the decision maker. It was odd that it happened so quickly and there was like radio silence. Like, we've replaced Dan Marley. No comment from Marley, very little from the university. And then, like you said, voila, here's Bryce Drew. But if Dan hasn't gotten paid, and if the fine print says, if you terminate me for without just cause, you need to pay me, he has every right to go after that money. Every right, because that was the agreed upon contract. But in what you said, this thing needs to just like hit the runway for 2 or 3 weeks and kind of see what happens, trying to jump to a conclusion on who's right and who's wrong. And it's not a great look for Grand Canyon right now.
No,
I think it's more of a black eye for Grand Canyon when it comes to the PR side than it is for Dan Marley. Because you know what? Everyone in Phoenix loves Dan Marley.
No,
people at
that.
GCU love Dan Marley. So.
I understand that. But you know this and I know this. And for full disclosure, when you and I were talking back in January, did I say or did I not say Dan's a dead man walking?
You did say that. You did say that.
I didn't say it on the air, but it was, to me, it was just like, he's gone. But if Bryce Drew is able to, assuming that there's a WAC tournament next year, if Bryce Drew is able to break through on New Mexico State, and I don't care if New Mexico State is down, then there's going to be this whole side of the street that's going to say, see, we were right. And if GCU continues down this run where they lose and lose, you know. All right, Eric's 2020 Vision guest is next. Stay with us.
We continue our 2020 Vision segment. Welcome back. I am Eric Sorensen. And if you're unaware of what we're doing, each day we are honoring a boy or a girl, one from every high school that we can get to throughout the state of Arizona, as they wrap up their school year, wrap up their high school time. And today's guest is someone I'm very familiar with, Eric Memphis Williams, the pride of Copper Canyon and Aztec. He is a two-year starter. Last year he had 7 tackles for loss. He will be playing college football next year. I'm going to get to that in just a bit. But Memphis, first off, it's good to see you. And how have you been handling everything during the pandemic?
I've just been keeping myself busy at home. You know, I've been playing around with my brother for a little bit, playing the games and stuff with him. I've been training a lot, too. But one of the coaches that coached last year at Copper Canyon, and it's been going good, so can't really complain.
Are you out of school yet, or is school still going?
No, they had us doing online school, and they had us doing, like, online work and stuff, but they stopped doing our, there's no more work, so, like, all our grades are in, so we graduate June 29th.
Is there going to be an actual graduation, or it will be, like, they're going to have one?
Yeah, it's going to be at the Cardinal Stadium.
Cool. Well, just to give the people watching a little bit of perspective to your backstory, you moved with your family from Tennessee. Your coach, Sean Freeman, gave you the nickname Memphis because when you got on campus, people couldn't remember your name. I mean, your name's Eric Williams. I don't know why that's so difficult to remember.
Yeah.
But in looking back now that your high school career is over, your high school football career at Copper Canyon is in the books, what did you take away most, both on and off the field, from your time at Copper Canyon?
Just being a leader, you know, being a leader at school, you know, making sure the underclassmen from the football team, or really any underclassmen, are, like, you know, doing their work, you know, staying on task, staying focused, and yeah.
What will you miss most about your time playing for the Aztecs? I know you got hit you guys didn't win a ton of games, but I don't really care about that because I could tell within your team from the time that I saw you, there was good continuity.
Yeah,
and I think Copper Canyon really sort of turned you into the player that you've become.
Yeah.
So what will you take away most from your time on the playing field for the Aztecs?
I'm gonna miss the coaching. I love the coaches. Even though we switched up the coaching staff the 2 years I was there, I liked some of the coaches. I'm gonna miss the times, like, before we started the game in the locker room, just, you know, getting ready, getting hyped for the game. So, yeah.
So, let's fast forward now. You are going to Ottawa, to play for head coach Mike Nesbitt, I'm a big fan of. I mean, that program's been around 2 years, and last year they went to the NAIA playoffs, which is incredible. Really nice facilities out there in Surprise. What attracted you most to that school?
Just how loyal they were to me, you know, like, making sure I was okay. Like, I was, like, I had all my questions answered. They just made me feel like I was a part of the family before I even decided where I was going to go. And I really liked that about Ottawa.
Now, I did a feature on you, I believe it was last summer, and one of the really cool things that I got out of it was you are now on track to hopefully become the first member of your family to graduate from a 4-year school. How much extra motivation does that give you, not just to excel on the field for the Spirit, but also get that your grades in place when you get to Ottawa so you can get that degree at some point?
It drives me a lot. It's just, I just want to make my family proud just to be graduating from a four-year college, because not really a lot of people in my family really went to college or graduated from a four-year college. So it's just going to be, it's going to be a proud moment for me and my family.
Last year, as I mentioned, you played for Coach Freeman, who I really have a lot of respect for. I think he has his priorities in place. What if you could describe your relationship with Coach Sean to someone that may not be aware of it? How would you describe that?
Coach Freeman, he's really been like a father figure, because my dad, he didn't move out here with me, so he's really been like my father figure since I've been out here. He's always made sure I'm okay in school, out of school. He always makes sure I have everything I need for life, and I feel like he's going to be in my life and my career, like, way past college and way past my career.
In terms of having to balance not just your workouts during the quarantine, but also doing school, I understand you have a job. Yeah. What are you doing for work now?
I work at Walmart. I'm doing, like, stocking and just basically stocking everything.
Are you working like the overnights or something? Or?
No, not overnights. They stock during the day too, yeah. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, so, yes, sir.
All right, Memphis. So throughout the number of interviews that I've done for this 2020 Vision segment, what started as kind of a random question has turned into one of my favorites to ask the student athletes, and that is, during quarantine, have you picked up any sort of hobbies? So we've had kids that have gone viral on TikTok. We've had kids that have perfected cooking. We've had kids that have done puzzles. We've had players that have played ping pong. Besides all the things that you have done, is there anything like out of the ordinary that you've picked up during the last few months?
Not really. I tried to get into TikTok for a little bit. I tried to do like videos with my girlfriend sometimes. So, yeah. Hopefully, I can get into it and like actually be good and get views off of it.
Yeah. Well, is she helping you with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, in terms of leave me with this. When you get to Ottawa, have you already set some goals for yourself, both on the field and off, as you've had time to kind of, you know, get ready to ramp up to going on to college?
Yes, sir. I plan on coming in for football for the football aspect. I plan on coming in to show myself and show my worth, and that I'm ready to play as a freshman. And school wise, I want to study in biology for like zoology and like animals and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Good for you. Well, hey, it was great catching up. I appreciate the time. I know you and I will be in contact over the next yes, 4 years. I'm gonna come out and catch a couple games out of Ottawa. So take care of yourself, and thanks so much again. All right, Memphis.
Yes, sir.
That's Eric Memphis Williams, Copper Canyon Aztec. He is on his way to Ottawa University next year to play for Mike Nesbitt. He is today's 2020 Vision guest.